His goodness and mercies will follow us all the day of our lives, and we will dwell in his presence forever and ever, no matter what's happening around us. Amen? Please join me in the reading of the Word of God, Hebrews chapter 11, verses 32 through 39. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouth of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. We continue with the series of messages, Unbreakable Faith, and today we're going to be talking about Gideon. The Israelites had chosen to blatantly rebel against God. Therefore, the Lord gave them into the hands of the Midianites, who constantly tormented the Israelites. The Bible says that they were so oppressive that some of the Israelites went into the mountains and began to live there in the caves. They were terrified. The Midianites were seasonal raiders of Israel crops. They were likened to the locust, innumerable and devastating. And their use of camels made the long-distance raids very possible. And after 7 long years of sheer terror, finally, the Israelites decided to cry out to God for help. And the Lord sent them a prophet. We read all about this in Judges chapter 6. To remind them of their sinful ways. And then sometime later, the angel of the Lord appeared to a man named Gideon. Judges 6:11. The angel of the Lord refers to the appearance of God to a person in a visible way or form. And theologians call this a theophany. Now, it's important to recognize that Gideon was at his worst. I don't know if there's anybody here that has ever been at your worst. He was suffering with the 3 D's. Depression, discouragement, and despair. Some people will tell you, well, if you're a Christian, you shouldn't ever experience depression or discouragement or despair. Wrong. You and I are part of the fallen race. And bad things do happen to good people. And sometimes it hurts like crazy. Gideon was going through something like that. He was having a hard time comprehending the unfairness and inconsistencies of life. Remember, when we compare, we despair, right? And the angel found Gideon all alone, employed in the threshing of wheat with a staff, probably because he had very little to thresh. He was not threshing his wheat on the threshing floor, the proper place, but by the wine press in some private, unexpected corner for fear of the Midianites. In other words, Gideon was hiding. Nevertheless, God knew exactly where Gideon was. He was in survival mode. When we experience difficult times, that's easy to do. Even churches do that as well. They forget that it's not about them, but about the call of God upon their lives and what God wants to do through them. See, Gideon thought that God had forgotten them. So he had to find a way to survive on his own. There was intense turmoil in the land. He was surrounded by defeat. And the thought that he too was a failure. Let me pause here for a minute, because I want to make sure we understand that we are not failures. Failure is something that might happen to us. But failure does not identify us. He felt like a failure. Yet the angel's greeting to Gideon was, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." See, the devil calls us by our shame, but the Lord calls us by our name. Gideon probably thought, "Lord, you got the wrong dude. Perhaps you don't know who you're talking to. Courageous who?" The angel was using the correct qualifications for the execution of a mission that Gideon was going to be called to accomplish. Side note, the name Gideon means mighty warrior. The angel was affirming him. He was speaking words of life into Gideon's spirit. He came to Gideon with a message of hope. Gideon's response was a melancholic and doubtful one. He said to the angel, "If God is with us, why then has this happened to us? Where are all his miracles?" See, approximately 250 years have passed between the crossing of the people crossing the Red Sea and this conversation that Gideon was having with the angel of the Lord. So Gideon had heard about the goodness of God. Gideon had heard about the mighty miracles of God. But now there was drought, spiritual drought. Now, even today, many are asking these two questions. And the answers are still the same, and they're still in the Bible, because the Bible, the Word of God, has not changed. Number one, sin. Sin is rebellion against God. And God does not bless sin. Number two, lack of faith. Not believing that God can do and will do something extraordinary through ordinary people who surrender to him. People like us. All it takes is faith. And it's not huge faith. The Bible tells us that it's the size of a mustard seed. Tiny. And number three is a poverty mentality. We only see what's in front of us, the obstacles. And in doing so, we forget the sovereignty and awesomeness of God. We limit God because of our poverty mentality. And Gideon suffered from the same malady. Gideon was focusing on himself instead of focusing on God and agreeing with God. See, Gideon was blinded by his insecurities and inabilities. Over and over again, he kept asking God to prove himself. If you haven't read Gideon's story, I invite you to do that today. He kept using fleeces, if this, then that kind of system. We cannot afford, my friends, to be like the man mentioned in the book of James chapter 1, verse 8, a double-minded man, unstable in all of our ways. Beloved, instability releases ability. Instability is a pure sign that we are relying on God and His Word. Just because I don't see it, I don't see a way out, I don't see how God can solve this problem, it does not mean that God will not do it. When God gives Gideon the command to go and to deliver Israel, his response was, "How can I do that, God? My family is the least in Manasseh, and I am the youngest one in my father's house." Now, you think God didn't know that? Of course he did. You see, again, it's not about us. It's about God and His kingdom. We are only His vessels, His instruments. All we need to do is obey and believe. It does not matter if you have never done it before. God's ways are higher than our ways. Enoch had never gone to heaven before. Noah had never built an ark, nor had he seen rain coming down from heaven, but he did. Moses had never extended out his arms and the Red Sea opened, but at the proper time he did, and God opened it. The people had never walked on dry land. But when Moses stretched his arm and did what God said, they did walk on dry land. Rahab had never risked her life for some Israelite spies. The Jericho walls had never fallen down. But after 7 days of the people marching around the walls and blowing the shofar, just as God told them, those walls came tumbling down. Pontevedra Church has yet to see the amazing harvest that God has. But it's coming. Because he who promised is faithful. With God, my friends, all things are possible. Matthew 19:26. Beloved, it's time for us to let go of our poverty mentality. Renew our minds with the Word of God. Now, going back to Gideon, God's answer to Gideon's limited mindset is the same answer that he's given through all the servants throughout the ages. Surely I will be with you, and you will defeat the Midianites. In chapter 7, we read about the conversation between God and Gideon. and the battle he was about to engage in. And Gideon came to God and said, guess what, God? I have 32,000 men. We're ready to go fight. And God said, I don't think so. You have too many men. And they kept bargaining back and forth. The end result was that Gideon went to war with 300 men. Judges 7:2. 300 men, and God gave them the victory. Why? Because God did not want them to boast against him. And Gideon was obedient and followed his direction. Friends, it is of extreme importance to inquire of the Lord first, and then to follow his guidance when we make decisions. You see, in order for us to have public victories, we need to experience some private victories first. The Lord gave Gideon the victory with the 300 men. Gideon went from the least of these to a great man of faith, mentioned in Hebrews 11, verse 37, as we read this morning. How? Obedience. As he trusted God and his faith became unbreakable, he was able to conquer the challenges that he faced. Now, what can we learn from Gideon today? Number one, God understands our human frailties, and he still loves us and uses us. Though Gideon continued to nag God, asking him, are you there, God? Putting out fleeces, wondering if God was really going to come through, dealing with great discouragement and constant anxiety. We read in Judges chapter 6, verse 24, that God appeared to Gideon and revealed himself as Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. Number two, we learn that even in the presence of fear, we too can exercise faith and courage. God's presence and anointing on us helps us to not only persevere, but triumph. There's a quote I have on my desk written by the late Ming Shang, and he reads, courage will follow when faith takes the lead. And number three, the third thing we can learn from Gideon this morning is that God is not moved by outward appearance. God sees the greatness in us and what we can become through him. We need to accept our new identity in Christ. You are who he says you are. A mighty man or woman of faith. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, we read that we are his workmanship, created for good works. Beloved, the call to a life of unbreakable faith is not easy, but it's an adventurous one, because God promised never to leave us nor forsake us. And he specializes on all those things that we call impossible. He makes them possible. I invite you to take your eyes off the obstacles and put them on the one who is commissioning us. As the late 18th century preacher and missionary to India used to say, his name was William Carey, "Let's expect great things from God and attempt great things for him." Let us pray. Father God, you recognize who we are. When no one else knows what's happening in our hearts, you know. I don't know what my brothers and sisters have in their hearts this morning, but you do know it. You are the God of the dry bones. You are the God of impossibilities. And we cry out to you today. We acknowledge that with you all things are possible. God of the dry bones, breathe the breath of life into us today, into the people of our community, into the people of Libya, Morocco, that are suffering, into the nations of the world that are so bound by violence and poverty, crying out for you, just like Gideon did, questioning your presence and your power. God of the dry bones, fill our hearts with unbreakable faith so we can move forward into victory and possess the land that you have called us to possess. We pray for our community this morning. We pray for all the churches and the leaders. We pray, Lord, for all the churches that are in turmoil today. Oh, Holy Spirit, bring your peace. Bring revival. Come, touch us, transform us. Give us the hope that you can only give us. I speak to those this morning that are discouraged and depressed and in despair. I minister to their hearts your peace, your life. Breathe over us. O Lion of Judah, Jesus Christ, roar over this community with power, authority. We know that you are the only one that can make the dry bones come alive. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.